The name of this message is Work It. And I want to jump right in. The Lord did a work Wednesday, let's see, last Friday night. The days are flying by. I'm a little disoriented because my wife is helping somebody else out of town. It's amazing how wonderful it is to have someone who helps you. Amen. So today is Sunday. Friday was before today, but it was 2 days back. And it was a dynamic and powerful evening for those who were there. The Lord did something, and we're going to rest in the revelation that He received that evening. How many of you have been in the presence of God, and it's in the presence of God that something special happens? And so it's the encounters with the Lord that we need, and to cultivate an environment to where we're always receiving things from the Lord. That's why we encourage people, and even on some mornings, press in a little bit more than other mornings because of the need to be receptive, to hear the Lord and to respond to Him. And I want to jump in here. Would you repeat this with me? The devil wants your heart. The devil wants your heart. Jesus is an example. How do you rectify? How do you solve this in our hearts? So I want to look in the book of Philippians chapter 2, but before we get to that part, I want to settle a context how Paul is talking to the Philippian people, and I want you to just listen to a few of the ideas he drops so we can pick up why what we're going to say is so important, okay? In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, many of you have probably heard this, many have probably memorized it. It says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Are you there? How many of you memorize that one? He who began a good work. So maybe it's written a little different out of another version. But there's two key things. It's the Lord doing the work, and there's a special day ahead. The Lord's the Lord's doing a work in me. How many of you felt the pressure of having to pull it off yourself? And the Lord says, would you stop that? And it's not about working hard. It's about surrendering. It's walking in a submitted, surrendered state. Verse 9 says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more with all knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So he's praying along these lines. Verse 27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And look at these guys. Not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you for the sake of Christ that you should not only believe in Him, and we don't really love these kind of words, but also suffer for His sake. We just don't jump up and down, yay, I was just going to suffer for His sake, hallelujah. But there it is. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now here, and I still have. And I'm going to speak to this idea of suffering in a little bit. And also now, starting with chapter 2, this kind of is the runway up to where we're going in verse 12. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, and this is where we're focusing, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, like we pointed out before, both in these two capacities, to will and to do. To will, he gives you the willingness, and he gives you the capacity. To will and to do for his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation. Now, you can't work out somebody else's. You can only work out yours. But this is what it's saying. This is what it's saying. What's the fear and trembling part? This is why we're singing that song, "This is Amazing Grace." This is a, when you look at the cross, this is the awe and wonder. The awe and wonder that nobody has in the world, that Jesus Christ came at the drama of the fact that that God put on flesh and died for us. The power of that. The fear of seeing that holy God came and took all of our sin and failure and died for that and broke its power on the cross. That's the fear and trembling. How can I not love a God like this? I must work out what He's done for me, and therefore I don't start heading to the cross trying to be better for Him. I start from the cross. That He has done it, and therefore I submit to Him, and He does it in me. He's not only done it in me by declaring that I'm holy in His sight, He says, "You are righteous in my eyes because you have chosen Jesus." Right? Amen? But now He says, "I want you to work out in your daily life, in awe of the cross, who I am in you." And when you got those days that it don't feel so good, I'll give you the willingness. And you feel like it's all on you, I'll give you the to-do and the ability to do what you can't do in yourself. By the capacity of the Holy Spirit, I will cause these things to happen in and through you for my good pleasure. How many of you have run out of gas plenty of times and realized, I need Jesus to do this in me? Because there's an adversary who wants your heart. And the Lord says, start here with a captive. I started looking at the songs that we can be singing about falling in love with Jesus. How many of you need your heart renewed these days over the intimate love that God has for you? Jesus loves you. You're special to Him. That's a blow. That blows everybody's mind. The average person wakes up and goes through life and never feels any of that. Is that right? Even after you've been around for a while, there's specific, very specific strategies to take you out. And we're going to talk about that point too. But number one, go ahead. This is the fill in the blank here. Work it out. Live completely in and through Jesus Christ. Work it out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. Again, you can pray for people, but it's your own salvation. You can ask for prayer, but it's your own salvation. When it comes to the nitty-gritty, you say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And not I. Look at somebody and say, you had a spirit in there. And God has decreed, says that your spirit is righteous before me. And your soul can have all kinds of things happen to it. Your mind, will, and emotions can be in jeopardy. How many of you have found that many times your soul is like a big landmine? You know, somebody steps on this, kaboom! Somebody steps on that, kaboom! You go, oh, I got landmines in me. Lord, sanctification is working out, and what do you call, when you take a bomb apart, you know, you take the bomb, you dismantle them. Detonate. No, don't detonate. No, you want to not detonate them. What? Defuse. Hallelujah. Defuse. Word of the Spirit, defuse. Hallelujah. So, now this number two. Let's go ahead and just say that. Number two is going to be based on this. Is work it off. Defeat the inner reasonings of disappointment. I'm saying it this way for a specific reason. Work it off. Defeat the inner reasonings of disappointment. Because this word, verse 14 says, do all things without grumbling. Go ahead and say it. Say, without grumbling. Or disputing. That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Now, this is amazing, the definitions of these words. Listen to the definitions. Grumble is this, I love this Greek word, it's gagismos. Gagismos. It means murmur, murmuring, or muttering. Get this, guys. This word grumbling, it's the definition in the Greek language is a secret debate. It's a secret displeasure not openly avowed. This is to grumble. It's an inside job, see. It's inner reasonings going on. Is that something? He says, do everything without these inner reasonings and this inside secret debates. Okay, look at this. The word dispute, you'll love this one. It's where we get the word dialogue. It's dialogismos, where we get the word dialogue. Listen to this. The thinking of a man deliberating within himself. The thinking of a man deliberating within himself. Inward reasoning, questioning about what is true, hesitation, doubting, and arguing. This is all inside the mind. This is not even grumbling out loud. This is grumbling inside. Are you hearing me? This is where the adversary, how does he get this going? And this is what the word, the Lord began to show this to me. He says, why do people grumble and dispute? Why do they got all this going on inside of them? The primary reason is they're wrestling with disappointments. Are you hearing me? They're wrestling with disappointments. There's all kinds of disappointments. So let's define that. A disappoint, to fail to fulfill the expectations or wishes of. To defeat the fulfillment of hope or plans, etc. And I want you to listen to this. Disappointment. This here's a great definition for disappointment. I have it in your notes. The sadness experienced when people or circumstances do not fulfill expectations. There's all kinds of things where disappointment can come in. And disappointment is a work, can become a satanic work. It's where the devil wants your heart. And he can, somehow a disappointment can happen and begin to bring you into a place of captivity. To bring you into place, I'm not talking about just offenses, that's a big thing right there, but I'm just talking about the disappointments in life. There was one disappointment that occurred with the disciples. It says a disappointment in not understanding God's purposes. How many of you wrestle with that? Luke 24:21 said, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. This is right at the end before. He says, yes, besides all this, it's now the third day since these things happened. They had an expectancy that Jesus was going to do something that they thought he was going to do the way they wanted him to do it. And he wasn't doing that way that they thought he was going to do it. He's going to do something else. And there was a disappointment registered in them. Because you can think, oh, it's going to work one way. And instead of you submitting to him and letting him, how many of you realize this? I have realized this with what God's spoken to us. Are you ready? God says, go do this particular vision. And you know what's happened? I have changed a lot. It's changing my life. I trust God more today than I did 4 years ago. Is anybody changed when you follow Jesus? There's a new sense of faith. There's things that are worked into your life because you say yes to something that's so big that if God doesn't do it, you look like a nut. Here's another disappointment. Naomi was disappointed. Why? Because of her losses. Losses can create disappointment. Ruth 1:20 said, she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Mara means bitter. You can get such a capacity in your mind about how bad your life is that you want to change your name to just call me ugly. Call me upset. Call me distraught. Call me disappointed. Hannah was disappointed with her childlessness. 1 Samuel 1:10, she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. These are all disappointments in life. Listen to this one. Samuel was disappointed with Saul. 1 Samuel 15:11, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And Samuel was angry and cried to the Lord all night. A person put in position doesn't fulfill what they're intended to be and do. And disappointment hits. Samuel was disappointed. David was disappointed with the whole assault. Laurie brought that up last week. How the whole, they came in at Ziklag, took the city down, burned the city down, took all the children and everything. The wives, and they were all distraught. And there was a great disappointment. David had the wherewithal to strengthen himself in the Lord. Elijah was disappointed with his own performance. 1 Kings 19:4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, It is enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I'm no better than my father's. How many of you said, I've tried hard enough. I'm done with this Christian life. I'm done. There's disappointment. You can get disappointed in yourself. Just keep trying and trying and trying. And how many of you have said, you know, I'm not sure I want to do this anymore. That's why we're doing this message. Because the Lord said that the strategy of the adversary is to get your heart into so disappointment in such a way that now it forms the mentality and robs you of the meaningful things that you know that God has said to you. They seem to be so far away now. What God had for me, I don't understand why all these disappointments. I started going this way and one after another, and now we're just stuck. Holy Spirit says, no, you're not. Discern it. The adversary is defeated. Do not do anything with the disputes except get rid of them. Those inward reasonings. Are you there? Are you with me? I'm a little Holy Ghost jacked up this morning. I'm a little on the edge, passionate-wise, because I believe it's a liberty the Lord is looking for. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is not disappointment. In fact, it says, He doesn't make you ashamed. His love comes through. When you go through a trial, you end up being better, not worse off. So what are you going to do with the disappointments? Let's just go ahead and stack them up for a minute here, because we're not done. The rich young ruler was disappointed by being conflicted with loving money and not obeying Jesus. When the young man heard this, you know, Jesus said to him, go sell your possessions. He said he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Money had a hold of his heart. And he ended up being conflicted and in trouble. Paul had a potential disappointment, a potential one. Let's just say a potential with the Corinthians, because he wrote a letter. And listen to this. This is the pastoral heart of Paul writing to people. 2 Corinthians 12:21. I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I will have to mourn over many of those who sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity and the sexual immorality and the sensuality that they have practiced. The disappointment that you put your hope by sowing into people's lives and saying there's a better way, and they go back into sexual sin. And the disappointment. He's on the verge. I don't know, but when I get back, he says, I'm afraid. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, look, I'm afraid the Lord will humble me and cause me to have to mourn for you. Sin stresses people out. Are you there? Paul's saying, that's not how we live. So there's a disappointment potential registered in the heart of a shepherd because of the waywardness of the people. What do you do with that one? You have friends. They've got to realize, okay, what am I going to do with this? I thought they were with us, and now they're not. Paul had a disappointment with the Galatians. He said, Galatians 1:6, I'm astonished that you were so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ, get this, and are turning to a different gospel. Now back there, the different gospel was they came out of the liberty of the grace of God and went into legalism. Today, the different gospel is that this is the different gospel now. I can sin and do anything I want and Jesus will forgive me. That's the different gospel today. There's no standard of righteousness or holiness and says, come out from among them and be different. You're going to be separate. Guys, look. The church seems to be coming apart at the seams as far as being accommodating to the culture. I'm going to stand in front of Jesus Christ one day. And you are too. If you look through this, it keeps saying the day of Christ, the day of Christ, the day of Christ. It's very important. You and I are going to stand before Jesus Christ. You and I are going to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of this life. You see how much I love you? I care about you. And so I overcome an intimidation of the culture to tell the truth. Because the culture wants to threaten anybody who preaches the gospel. It's basically boiled down to this today. Since the people have turned from God to their sin, they turn to government to condone it. and then government to punish those who they say, are you there? And all of these people are going to stand before the same person I'm going to stand before. It was an old song in the 60s, 70s. Randy Clark wrote, it was just the cutest little song. It's, keep your eyes on the second coming sunset. When Jesus comes back. We used to preach about it all the time in the Jesus movement. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You hardly ever hear about it today. I want to just go ahead and tell you, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Almost brought it today, and I'm going to play it soon. There's a, if you want to look it up, it's about the, called Millions of Muslims. There is a guy, I don't know his name, but he's a Coptic Jew from Egypt, and he has an anointing on him, and he's on television. He has a $60 million price on his head. There are millions of Jews, millions of Muslims coming to Christ through this guy, and he's on TV all through the Middle East. There's two, I think it's at 200,000, or I forget the nations in the Sudan, there's 2.5 million already come to the Lord in Egypt too. They're coming to the Lord everywhere. Why? Because it's an oppressive thing to tell you, you've got to kill somebody to serve this God. I got a different message. You know what? My God died for you. He died for your sins. He loves you when you're still a sinner. God loves you when you've sinned and you've failed. He died for all of that. Wow. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for the sins of man. You don't have to die for Him. He died for you. Hallelujah. I think we're in the Bible here. And here's another one. The disappointment resulting from sin. And I'm looking this thing up, and I'm going through a reference. Oh, we've got to finish pretty quick here. We'll get on point three. Can I have two more minutes? Maybe three? Sorry. Because we're... Haggai 1:9. Listen to this, guys. Just tune in. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, it blew away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. The Lord considers that sin. That we not be about... It's not this for me to get up here and say, hey, it's about being here. Sounds so egotistical. But it's not my house. It's not mine. It's the Lord's. Is anybody here? You go through stuff. The reason we're doing the prophetic training, if I don't have a conviction to teach you how to hear from God, this generation, nobody will hear from Him the next generation. If I don't have a conviction that you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, nobody's going to have it. If I don't have a conviction that you can walk with Jesus, who's going to talk about it? Are you there? And you can cast down defeat. You know, there's an anointing just to overthrow defeat today. We're going to have some people up on the platform. And if something's clustered up on your mind and you have felt just pushed into a corner, hell is defeated. Let me go ahead to the last. I just want to praise Him for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank You for Your... You weighed in and the devil's shaking in his boots. And so everything that has been a discouragement to this precious congregation, I thank You, Lord, right now, that it begin to break off of every mind and every heart in the name of Jesus. Because when hope is deferred, it makes the heart sick when discouragements come. But the longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And we pray for the release of the anointing to break yokes of discouragement now. Hallelujah. Right now. Right now. Let's go ahead and praise Him for a moment. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. We reach and take release from the things, the worries, the reasonings, the discouragements in our minds right now. We break them off in Jesus' name. We affirm that we are greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. And quickly, number three, work it in. You work it out. You work it off. You work it in. By the way, I'm going to just say about the working it off. How many ever done anything stupid? And you hate the fact that you did it. Can I tell you, let me tell you this right now. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And I have done some stupid stuff. And I'm so disgusted with it. You know what I've done? I come in here and I pray in the Spirit. And I pray and pray. And guess what? Whatever it was trying to say, it was trying to redefine me on the basis of my failure. Have you ever had that happen? Stuff tries to redefine who you are on the basis of your mess ups. And all that stuff leaves when you rise up and you praise the Lord. When you rise up, He says, thank you, because you know that's not who you are. You know you're not defined by your sin. Are you there? So work it now. Work it in, and quickly, says, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. And holding fast means to have, to hold upon, to observe, to attend to give attention to. In fact, it says to check. There's amazing. Amazing that when having to do something and the Holy Spirit gives you a check because you're holding fast the word. The word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done to you. I say, work it. Set everything aside just for a moment. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Tell you what, let's do this. Let's set everything aside, but go ahead and stand up. Just lift your head to the Lord. Thank Him for the anointing that the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's been the availability of liberty all morning. And like I said, in a moment, there's going to be some people up here to pray with and for you. If there's something holding your mind to a place of disappointment, know that your Father in heaven loves you, that Jesus has given Himself for you, and that the Holy Spirit is the bare witness of the love of God for you, so that you can turn from that. There it is. Would you, if just everybody do it so that we can go ahead and finish up this part. But as an act of faith, go ahead and put your fingertips on your forehead there a little bit. If you wouldn't mind doing that. I'm going to say the words, release your healing, Lord. Release your anointing, Lord. I want you to see these fingers are not yours, they're Jesus's. And when He touches you, you're free. So we just declare the freedom of the Lord from hurts and disappointments and all kinds of things that would want to redefine us. I tell you, man, when I get into this kind of flow in my own heart, I begin to see stuff. And I'm out without a kind of past the time here. But some of you have actually allowed failures, disappointments in yourself to redefine you. And the Lord has not got that definition of you. It's just not Him. And He's beckoning you. Would you leave that reasoning behind today? Let go the hellishness that wants to redefine you as somehow second best. That God's not really there for you. That you always have to do it all. That's a lie. That is a lie. The Lord has done it all. Receive His love for you now. Now, today. Receive it now. Let that anointing of love break off that yoke of self-disappointment. Be liberated today. Be liberated today from it. Hallelujah. If you've been upset with someone, let that go today. Let it go today. Do not be grumbling in your mind anymore. Be free. Be free. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of life. Be free. Come into the liberty Christ has for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's praise Him now, guys. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. 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 Guys, I love you so much. I don't even understand how the Holy Spirit does what He does. But the Bible says this. It says that the Jews need some kind of a sign, and the Gentiles always looking for some kind of wisdom. And it's all mental stuff. He says, but we preach the foolishness. It's the foolishness of preaching.
It's crazy to stand here and think we're doing anything that's going to make a difference. But God comes into a heart. God comes and releases His anointing and breaks something off of somebody's mind. And they're different after that. Because He said our gospel didn't come to you in word only, but in power and the Holy Spirit and full conviction. And there's a work that He... Man, I feel good about that. Guys, somehow some of you just need to like disrobe whatever that is. Just say, let go of whatever has been the weight of disappointment. Take it off. Take it off. Disrobe it. Let go of it. Quit thinking of it. Let go of it in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Cast it off. Cast it off today. Cast it off today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is this hitting anywhere anybody needs? Okay, two people. Hallelujah. All right. Those who come to pray on the platform, come on up. The Lord bless you and keep you. Sincerely. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.